Back in session, 10:25.
Okay, back in session. Next up is item F1.
All right, good morning. I'm Brian Nielsen. I'm the Acting Administrator at Division of Aquatic Resources. I'm also joined with our Commercial Fisheries Biologist, Dr. Ryan O'Connell. Also in attendance, we have our statistician, Reg Kokoban, who manages our commercial fisheries data, and also Kimberly Harding, who manages the bottom fish reporting. So this is agenda item F1, a request to open the following existing main Hawaiian Island bottom fish restricted fishing areas. So there's four BRFAs that we're proposing to open today. BRFA C, Poipu, Kauai; BRFA F, Penguin Banks; BRFA J, Hana, Maui; BRFA L, Leleiwi, Hawaii Island, and request to delegate to the chairperson the authority to implement the decision. I'm going to hand it over to Ryan O'Connell to give a brief presentation to kind of give some more context to today's proposal.
Our presentation is going to touch upon, like, you know, the bottom fishery in general, management of the bottom fishery, and we'll move into the BRFAs. By no means am I a bottom fisherman. I mean, I have participated in the fishery before, but you know, I'm not a bottom fish. I wouldn't consider myself a bottom fisherman, so please bear with me.
Something more. Want me to advance?
Not working.
Try the mouse.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. So the fishery that is relevant to the BRFAs is the Deep 7 bottom fish fishery. So A, you know, is represented by seven fish, mostly snappers and one grouper. A is the onaga, B is the ehu, C is the kalekale, D is the opakapaka, E is the gindai, F is the hapapu, and G is the lehi. So these are the fish that comprise the Deep 7 bottom fishery.
Comprise.
Now we're going to touch on the characteristics of the fishery. This fishery is managed by the state and federal government. This fishery exists in state and federal waters. That's why it's managed by both of us. It is managed with a commercial catch data. It is considered a highly skilled fishery. The fishers target specific geologic features in the ocean in the 100 to 400 meter depth range. It is a seasonal fishery, which is also weather dependent. And the commercial value of this fishery is 1.6 million about, but there's also a strong culture value. You know, during the holidays and special occasions, this fish is sought after to be served, especially the red ones. Touching upon the seasonality of this fishery, on the x-axis we have the months, and on the y-axis to the left we have the total pounds, which is represented by the blue bars. And we see that this fishery peaks in December, January, during the holiday season, and kind of mellows out during the summer months. The red line, also the y-axis to the right, represents total fishers or effort. So how much people is participating in this fishery at that time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the effort follows the catch, more or less. This is the composition of the bottom fish landed last fishing season. Here we see that the fishery's value is strong with the opakapaka. Over half of this fishery, the value of it is based on the opakapaka. The other strong component is the onaga, and the rest of them kind of, you know, make up the small portion of it. The ehu, lehi, hapupu, kalekale, and gindai is a little bit more less targeted, less in the commercial scene. And I'd like to say that these data that we're presenting up here is solely based on commercial data. We have no data on non-commercial data. So everything is just based on commercial. This is the current Deep 7 rules and regulations that manage this fishery. There is we have a bottom fish vessel registration. Everybody who participates in a bottom fish fishery got to register their vessel. We have gear restrictions. We have a non-commercial bag limit. We have commercial size limit. We have bottom fish trip reports, weekly dealer reporting, And these are fast-track processing of the data. So all those things I mentioned, those are state rules and regulations. This last one, the annual catch limit, that is like, you know, congruent or joint between the feds and the state. So what happens is the fishing year starts in September 1st, ends at the end of August, and the annual catch limit spans this time. If that annual catch limit is hit, the fishery is closed in both federal and state waters.
What's the HAR number?
Can I see for this? Oh, sheesh. All right, look.
HAR number.
This one right here. Subsection 13-94-8D.
13-94-8D. What? 8?
8. Number 8D.
Okay, thank you.
As we said, this fishery is managed both by the state and federal government. And this is one of the big contributions that the federal government gives to this fishery. It's a stock assessment. So every 5 years, NOAA comes out with a stock assessment. 2018 was the last stock assessment they did, and this stock assessment is considered the most comprehensive stock assessment to date. What makes it better than the previous ones, it had a catch per unit effort standardization. It included considerable input from bottom fishermen. There's updated biological data. This included experimental fishing data. The other stock assessments didn't. And it also included drop camera data. The DAR collects the data of this fishery. So when people, you know, with the commercial fishery parts, the data comes to DAR. So we also made improvements in-house. We have better compliance by fishermen reporting their catch, and we have better quality control by confirming questionable inputs from fishermen. So the data that we collect is very important to the stock assessment because it feeds into the stock assessment. Now we're moving to the BRFAs. Here we see those grid marks are the BRFAs. We have BRFA A and all the way to BRFA M spanning the main Hawaiian Islands. I'm going to touch on the history of the bottom fishery restricted areas. In 1998, DAR established 19 BRFAs. This was in response to the federal government determining that the fishery was in danger of being overfished. The purpose of the BRFAs was to limit the take of the Deep 7, because at that time, in 1998, we never have ACLs. So this was the mechanism that we decided to use to limit the take. In 2007, the BRFAs were refined to 12 BRFAs. And they're refined with the use of better seafloor mapping data. These are the rules and regulations within the BRFAs. It restricts fishing for deep 7 bottom fishing of BRFAs, restricts the possession of deep 7 bottom fishing of BRFAs. As it is written in the books, it is unlawful to take or possess deep 7 bottom fish while in a vessel that is drifting or anchoring within a BRFA. So why should we consider opening the BRFA? The fishery is managed within ACL currently. People feel this the BRFA is redundant. The catch is often below the ACL. The stock assessment shows that the fishery is in a healthy state. Opening BRFAs demonstrates adaptive management by our division. The BRFAs are a challenge to enforce. They're out there in the open ocean. The bottom fishery is well monitored through a weekly data summaries. Some feel that spatial management may not be the most appropriate strategy to manage this fishery. This fishery is naturally restrictive because of weather, costly gear, and it is a highly skilled fishery. You cannot just buy gear and just go out there. You gotta know. And it's also considered burdensome for fishermen. The BRFAs increase their travel time, and because of this increase of travel time, it is not as safe for them. You know, getting at the ACL and the catch. So here we see the blue bars again, total pounds caught per year. And the red line above there is currently the new ACL. So we see this big difference between the ponds that have been caught and the new ACL. And as our division recognizes this as an opportunity loss for our bottom fishermen.
Sorry, but the red line is this year's ACL.
Yes, yeah. This year's ACL.
So what was the ACL before, above or below?
The ACL before, these past ones, we never did reach the ACL in the past since 2007.
So 2007 was set at 5.2?
No, it was not. I have a breakdown. In 2007, it was set at 178,000 pounds.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah.
So that was, at that point, it was considered a total allowable catch. Mm-hmm. So these terms kind of mean slightly different things in the realm of the federal fishery. So the first ACL was initiated in 2011, and that is the starting point of this graph. So this graph captures since the ACL was established.
And that was at 500?
No, that ACL at 2011 was 325,000 pounds.
Okay. And then each year it changed?
Or? Yeah, it changes with new stock assessments. New stock assessments come out every 5 years. Mm-hmm. When a stock assessment comes out, they update it. And 3 years into it with new data. The model doesn't change. The model can change every 5 years. Mm-hmm. But every three years after that, stock assessment is put out, they refresh it with new data inputs into the model.
In a nutshell, can you say from 300 to what it went over this time span?
Well, I'm sorry?
Can you tell us when they changed over this time span?
Oh, yeah, okay.
And what the numbers were?
Okay, so I'll start with the, since the ACL was initiated, which was in 2011. Mm. So that ACL was 325.
And then?
In 2012, still 325. In 2013, 346. In 2014, 346. In 2015, 326. And in 2016, 318. And the last one prior to this one was 306.
Go ahead.
With this most recent stock assessment, the ACL went up a lot. Yeah, 60% of all.
And we talked in our very detailed review of this about the recreational catch estimates. Are you covering that too?
We're going to touch on it. Yes, we're going to touch on it a little bit, or the lack of it. And reasons for our conservative approach, we have 12. We're pitching to open 4. If the ACL is reached, there is a 42% chance of reaching the overfishing limit. Some people are uncomfortable with this 42% risk level. The other reason we are being conservative is we have no idea. There are estimates on the non-commercial take, but we do not have any hard data on the non-commercial take of this fishery. So that is a big puka in our data for managing this fishery.
So can you flip it back to the last slide?
Previous slide. This is previous?
Try just scroll up. Okay. Scroll.
No, not scrolling up. Oh yeah, previous. This is previous right here, right? This is previous right
there.
So if, for example, the recreational catch is the same as the commercial catch, then you're a lot closer to the ACL.
Yes. But that ACL is only used to manage the commercial catch.
Right, but we don't have a way to measure or manage the recreation. I'm not making that assumption. I'm just saying we don't know what it is, but if it were, then...
Yeah.
I talked to some of the fishing community in Hilo about this, and you're going to open up the one at Lele Evie.
Mm. That's what we're proposing, yes.
Okay, so did you folks have any kind of a public hearing with the fishermen who come out of Wailoa about how they feel about opening that up, because the launch ramp down at Pauiki is closed, so all the Pauiki guys are coming to Hilo. So all the commercial guys who would go out of Pauiki and had lots of them, now they're coming out of Hilo until the the boat ramp of Pauwiki can be opened again. Right now it has a sandbar there. Mm-hmm. I don't know what their plans are for opening it, but the Hilo fishermen, their suggestion is the only way to be fair of this is you should have a public hearing before you open the Le'ivi and get the input from the local fishing community, because they don't know about this, what you were just talking about, all this presentation. They don't know what you're up to. Now, I'm not saying that you didn't do it right. I'm saying they want to have input, because the Hilo guys, they don't want the Puna guys coming over there. And the Puna guys say, well, you know, not our fault that the lava put the sandbar. So they all, two sides have a good issue. But to open Le'ili'ivi before you hear from the fishermen who are affected by it, I think that maybe it should be deferred at least to get the public input, and then you folks report back what they say. Because the guys that I talk to their representative in Hilo, and the story I get is that they're not really in favor of this. And so I said, well, when we have the meeting, I'll raise the issue and see whether we can have a public hearing. So have you had a recent public hearing in the East Hawaii area, if you know?
So we haven't had a recent meeting in the Hilo area. He's just about to get into the part of the presentation that does show how we made the selection for which four BRFAs, and also includes some of the scoping that we did do. But we didn't have a formal meeting in Hilo recently.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
So he'll cover what we did do in our scoping, and you know, we're welcome to take any more questions.
That's
about
the only question
Hilo
I have, because that's what they're raising. But I told them what the issue is. You're talking about opening Le'ili'ivi. Then they said, oh, wait a minute. You know, we have trouble right now as it is. And then we're open Le'ili'ivi, and then all the Puna guys and the Hilo guys are going to fight over that. So that's
okay. Why don't we go ahead and go through the presentation?
I think this might help answer the question that Mr. Rorig has. So these are the factors we consider in determining which purpose to open. We considered habitat value, fishery catch, enforceability, safety for the fishermen. We also considered recommendations from Westpac. And there is where the input from the fishermen came out. In December of 2014, our agency did go out to all the major islands and did hold public hearings and public meetings and solicited input. So that was a while back.
But before the lava came.
Before the lava came, yes. And a few months ago, we did initiate also an online opinion poll sent via email to all registered bottom fishermen. So that was the more recent effort that we did.
That's a commercial guy.
No.
All registered?
All registered.
Bottom fish vessel well, ID registrants.
Excuse me?
So every bottom fisherman is required to register their vessel. So we sent out an opinion poll to every single registered bottom fisher in the state to get their input on this.
And when was that done?
October.
October.
We also consider equality at the county level. So these are the BRFAs that we're proposing to open. BRFA C, Poipu Kauai. BRFA F, Penguin Banks. BRFA J, Hana Maui. And BRFA L, Le'ili'ivi, Hawaii. And with that, we're willing to field more questions.
Okay, Jimmy.
How does a fisherman determine that, say, for example, BRFA J, Hana?
How did we determine?
What is his parameters? What does he know that he's within this boundary and he's not outside fishing, or, you know, there's a method for him to know that this is all he can fish? He can 10 miles one way, 10 miles the other way or something?
Is
a boundary?
From what I understand, the boundaries are based on, it's like GPS coordinates. And then I guess a lot of the fishermen, they have, you know, these instruments to guide them where the BRFAs are on their instruments, their GPSs and stuff like that, navigational units.
Okay.
From what I understand. But if somebody old school kai no more, then it's a challenge. Yeah.
But they're not actually marked. You'd have to rely on either GPS or some sort of landmark to know where they're at.
I got a question. Why only four?
Why only four? And I guess we touched on it, you know, being conservative in that conservative sense.
Because if, to me, if, like you said, the limits was never reached, then, you know.
It's because you don't have you don't have recreational data, and because if you reach the annual catch limit, you're at 42% chance of overfishing.
Because, well, my question, if you're not reaching your limits, then the other areas, if you open all, okay, this is your limit. Now everybody spread out farther, the limit drops. Your everything drops, correct? Because of the areas you're fishing in. You know what I mean? Unless you get all these commercial fishermen going there every day or something. But then,
yeah, it's a highly. It's naturally regulatory to fishing. You know, the weather, everything like that.
No, that's not the question.
The other point is that, you know, to the extent that the concept is that it has been contributing to the recovery of the whole industry.
Yeah, I can understand that.
You want to be careful about it, and you want to monitor it. And the other
thing I get is all the data recently, what you're saying is based on the commercial.
Yes.
The commercial catch information. And you get outlaws. I know you get outlaw guys going over there. They're fishing anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever, nobody go. No. But then that based on what is caught outside the Burfa's, correct?
That's the reports we get. Nobody reports catching fish in the Burfa.
Yeah. And then like I know you guys collect data in a Burfa to do a survey on how much fish is in the area.
That would be NOAA. They did the drop camera surveys. They have some sites within Burfa's, and from what I understand, they also do some experimental fishing within the Burfa's. They have some sites.
So with that information, you're saying that the Burfa's that you are opening, there's enough ample fish to open it up, or that you're not going to hurt the population?
Well, the problem is that the Science Center, NOAA guys, when they analyze the fishery, they're looking at the total stock to figure out how much fish is out there, therefore figure out how much the ACL is and stuff like that. Even though they have sites within the Burfa's, their study is not designed to analyze the effectiveness of the Burfa's or even how much fish there is in the Burfa's. They just have sites in the Burfa's. And when they analyze, they look at the data.
They choose an area that you want. They don't concentrate on.
Yeah, they look at it. They look at the data as a whole fishery for a whole main Hawaiian islands.
Would that Burfa's ever change? Like it move from you got it, like you say, Unit A. Well, Unit A maybe say we hypothetically it's Kauai. Was Unit A, does it go any part of Kauai would affect another Burfa someplace else? No, would
it hasn't.
Just always be that spot.
Since, you know, there was one time period where it changed, I think 2007, where it got adjusted, but since then, it's been the same.
And how would you address complaints, or do you have complaints from, whether it be a commercial or it be a non-commercial bottom fishermen, they may have complaints, or they may even give you some options, or how to resolve it? Do you guys take that into consideration, or do you have any of those?
Most of the conversations that we have with fishermen about the bottom fish fishery, is they want the Burfa's to be open.
Okay.
Chris,
you mentioned a while back that there were estimates of the recreational catch.
Yes.
Can you share that with us and talk about levels of uncertainty with those estimates?
Okay, I don't know for sure guarantee, but I'm going to kind of tell you what I think.
Okay.
The way I understand it.
Okay.
So like, essentially the estimate in a very layman's term is currently they make it at 1-to-1. So for every commercial bottom fish they catch, there's a one non-recreational bottom fish is caught.
There is a recreational.
Non-commercial. You know, for one commercial, one non-commercial. So it's a 1-to-1 ratio. So the ratio is they have set that went into the stock assessment.
And who made that estimate?
NOAA. So I think how these estimates are made is via a lot of times. I think this is how they made it. This one, I'm not sure, but how these estimates are made in other places. You know, when we get estimates of our non-commercial take.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have those estimates, but so somebody goes out, they survey like the piers, they survey, you know, on the beaches, they check out what they're catching and stuff like that. Then they do this expansion. Okay, so on Monday had like 5 fishermen and they caught, you know, 10 pounds of fish from this place. Time zone by how many months, how many years, and they get the number, they expand it like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how they get that kind of numbers. A lot of little intricacies go into that, like, you know, it depends when you go, like weekend versus weekday, summertime versus wintertime. So all those kind of things kind of got to go into that estimate. So it's a lot of times it's expansions.
But if it is one-to-one, then the total catch is right up against the annual catch limit.
Yes.
84%.
And they account for that. Like the ACL is not,
yes,
is only counting, it only applied to commercial take.
So if they knew
that one-to-one estimate,
that's built in already.
Yeah, yeah, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So if they had a perfect system, the ACL would be double.
Would be double if
would
we
be 800 and yes.
If we was catching all the non-commercial data too.
If it was 1-to-1, and you knew for sure that you were including everybody, then the ACL is something like 850 pounds.
That's how I would interpret it. That's what I would
think.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that makes me feel better about because, you know, as I said, if it is the other way, if it's 1-to-1, and the total catch is supposed to be 429,000 pounds,
yeah,
then we would be. By allowing, we would be at the ACL if you counted the recreational. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I wonder about that because my sense of the world, I actually, you know, it's pretty common at restaurants and to see Opakapaka Onaga. It seems like there's a lot being sold. Versus what I'm thinking people actually take home and eat by themselves.
I wonder if it seems like the conservative approach to say
that there's a pound caught recreationally, I would sooner believe that there's pounds being caught commercially. You know, there may be people that are quote recreational and are selling their catch. Okay, that's one thing. They don't have a commercial license and they're selling their catch. And the other thing is that my guess is that the bulk of the bottom fish catch is sold and not consumed by people just for fun, you know, because they like to eat fish. That's my question. Okay. All right. That deals with that question. When you said that some of it's federal and some of it's state, is there a dividing line between what you're calling federal waters and state waters?
In most cases, it's 3 miles out.
Okay. And I just wanted to be sure, just a couple of technical questions. I want to be sure that I completely understand this. The ACL is completely set by the feds.
It is, the ACL is not set by the feds. The ACL is set by the Western Pacific Fisheries Management Council.
Okay. But they're fed.
We have a seat.
Okay, we have, the state has a seat at it. Okay. But the BRFAs are entirely state. So
it's a state rule.
So this board makes that decision on the BRFA, and Westpac, they have input, but they have no say in that decision.
It's a state rule, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. That's all I have.
Okay. Stan,
how do you know if the recreational guys registered?
How do we know? Well, they're supposed to.
No, I know they're supposed to.
Okay. How do we know?
If they're registering.
I don't. If somebody just no register and they go out and catch bottom fish,
yeah,
we don't know. If they don't tell us, we don't know.
The only way we would know is if a Doe Care officer, you know, checks someone.